The portion of God's Word that we'll focus on this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Let's begin with prayer. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for Thee? Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide Thee, naught I ask beside Thee. Amen. In 1989, a man walked into a Pennsylvania flea market hunting for treasure. And as he perused the market's wares, he came across what he would later describe as a dismal painting. But as dismal as the painting was, he thought that the ornately carved frame around that painting was rather beautiful, and so he wanted to know how much it would cost for him to buy it. And so he asked the vendor, and the vendor told him it would be $4. And so he paid the man the $4, and he took the frame and the painting, and he went on his way home. But once he got home, he found out what he really had. Because as he took that frame off of the painting, he discovered behind the painting a folded piece of parchment. And upon further investigation, came to realize that that piece of paper was an original copy of the Declaration of Independence, one of only 24 known to still exist. 2 years later, at an auction, that piece of paper sold for $2 million. If you're doing the math, it's a profit of $1,999,996. As they say, one man's $4 trash is another man's $2 million treasure. But what exactly constitutes something as being treasure? Is it just a matter of monetary value? I mean, couldn't someone actually argue that a multi-generational family photo album or a toddler's raggedy security blanket could also be considered as extremely valuable treasures? Depending on their perspective, one person could see something as treasure and the person right next to them could see it as trash. And so is it possible for us to really understand and know what is valuable in this world and what's trash? Does it all just come down to a matter of personal opinion? Well, in Matthew's gospel before us today, we see three parables that Jesus tells to help us answer that question. As you may know, Jesus often used parables, a story with a lot of earthly illustrations, to help people to understand a spiritual concept. And likewise here today, Jesus uses these parables to teach us a spiritual truth, namely what it is that constitutes truly valuable treasure in God's eyes, and what it is that makes that treasure so intrinsically valuable, and what God wants us to then do with that treasure. First, Jesus illustrates, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Now, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven here, as he does in these parables, he's talking about God's ruling activity, what God does for people, especially focusing on the gospel good news of Jesus' saving work. And so we see this parable here. And because there weren't banks in Jesus' day, people often would bury their money in the ground for safekeeping. And so as you hear in the parable, there's a man and he's out digging in a field one day when he unexpectedly unearths an enormous treasure. And he does a quick estimation of the value, and he throws some dirt back over it, and he sort of throws up a joyful fist pump, and he runs off on his way to sell everything that he owns so that he can come back and purchase that field. Because according to Jewish law, whoever owned the land also owned everything on the land and in the land, including that huge treasure. Second, Jesus pictures the kingdom of heaven like a merchant looking for fine pearls. In antiquity, pearls were thought to be an extremely valuable commodity. And so this man, whose lifelong job was to look for fine pearls, an expert in his field, suddenly comes upon a pearl that is more flawless and more beautiful than he's ever seen. And so he runs off and he sells everything that he owns so that he can come back and purchase that one priceless pearl. Do you notice what the two men in these two parables have in common? The minute that they find the treasure that they were looking for or that they stumbled upon, they run off and they sell everything that they own so that they could come back and possess this one priceless treasure. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hopping in your car this morning as you're leaving church and you're driving down the road and you glance out your side window and you see it there on the side of the road? This amazing thing that you just have to have. And you hop out of your car and you throw a for sale sign in the windshield and you call your realtor up and tell him to put your house on the market. And you sell off all your stocks and your cabin up north and your boat and everything else that you own so that you can possess that treasure, that thing of ultimate value that you just have to have. That'd be crazy, right? No one would ever actually do that, right? Well, probably not, unless that treasure is more valuable than everything else. You see, we wouldn't think it was crazy for the man in the field to go off and sell $100,000 of his stuff so that he could purchase that field that contains a $2 million treasure. Nor would we think it was crazy for that pearl merchant to sell off his $1 million inventory to buy one pearl that's worth $10 million. We wouldn't think that was crazy. Because people are willing to give up everything for a treasure if that treasure is more valuable than everything else in their life. And in that we see the point that Jesus is trying to make to us with these parables, don't we? He's telling us that the gospel, the saving work of Jesus, is the most valuable treasure of all, the truly valuable treasure, the all-important treasure. And as such, we should be willing to give up and sacrifice everything else in this world and in this life so that we can have and keep that truly valuable treasure. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's maybe even easy to believe, but it's really hard to put into practice, right? Especially when so many voices in the world today are trying to convince you that the gospel is not treasure, but trash. You give your time and your money to your church? What a waste. And those voices, they compound with all the other things in your life that are vying to be the truly valuable treasure for you. And all of those things come together and they put a lot of pressure on us as Christians to sell off our spiritual wealth so that we can possess the world. You see, your actions often reflect where our heart is found. And where our heart is found reveals what we've deemed to be the truly valuable treasure in our lives. The man who believes that earthly wealth is his truly valuable treasure will quickly run off and he'll sell his time in the Word and worship and he'll sell his spiritual leadership of his family and he'll sell his godly business ethics so that he can possess that earthly wealth that he truly values. And the woman who believes that the approval and validation of other people is her truly valuable treasure, she'll run off and she'll sell her identity in Christ and her biblical worldview, and her godly lifestyle, so that she can possess that approval of the world that she values. See, we get the picture, right? But we also feel the guilt. Because whether it's from our money or our jobs, whether it's fame and fortune or family or friends or football, whether it's lust or lies, whether it's approval or self-righteousness or subjective morality, all of us have fallen for the lie Satan tells that those are the things that are the truly valuable treasures of our lives. And falling for that lie, we're willing to sell off Jesus and the gospel so that we can have basically what breaks down to trash. But how quickly our hearts angrily respond to that statement, don't they? Trash? Those things are trash. How can you say that? My money, my job, my family, my status? How can those things be trash? You see, those are the things that I should be focusing on. Those are the really important things in my life, and that God stuff can just wait till later. Those are the things that give my life value. That's what makes my life happy. How can you say that that is trash? Certainly, God fills our lives with things and blessings that we rightly can view as valuable things. I'm certain that the two men in those parables didn't look at all the things that they were selling and think, well, these are of no value. But if either of those men had been unwilling to sell their $1,000 mule so that they could possess an infinitely valuable treasure, they're trading in something of moderate value, or they're trading in something of infinite value for something that's only moderately valuable. And that's how the gospel changes our perspective on things. Because if the gospel is the truly valuable treasure of our lives, then everything else is necessarily going to be marginalized in comparison. If the gospel is the truly valuable treasure of our life, then everything else might be valuable, yes, valuable indeed, but not ultimately valuable. When the gospel is the truly valuable treasure of our lives, then that is ultimate, and everything else is less. However, if one of those things that we see as valuable in our lives tries to distract us or take us away from the true value, the truly valuable treasure of the gospel, then that thing becomes not valuable anymore, but trash. But how can we know? How can we know for sure that the gospel is the truly valuable treasure when there are so many other answers of what it might be? Doesn't it come down to just sort of a matter of personal opinion? The third parable that Jesus tells us this morning helps us to answer that question. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net in a lake that caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up. Then they collected the good fish, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age." So the gospel is the only truly valuable treasure for our lives because this world eventually is going to come to an end. Right now, the world just swims along freely and unimpeded, able to decide for ourselves what the valuable treasure in our life really is. But eventually, the net gets pulled up and the fish gets sorted. So when Jesus returns on Judgment Day, everyone, living and dead, is going to be judged and separated, believers to heaven and unbelievers to hell. And on that day when Jesus returns, all the things that people deem to give their life value, their fame, their fortune, or how impressive they look to other people, none of that's going to matter anymore. The only thing that is going to matter on that day is faith. And that's why the gospel is the truly valuable treasure for our lives, because it's through that gospel that the Spirit works faith into our hearts and keeps us in that saving faith so that we have the promise of eternal life. Nothing else is valuable except for our faith on that day, because spiritual wealth is the only treasure that pays eternal dividends. But those threats of the law, the threat of the law of being thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the threats of the law aren't enough. When we focus just simply on the law, it's impossible for us to joyfully give of ourselves to God and to support the gospel. It's impossible. Because you're still going to grit your teeth a little bit if you drop an offering envelope into the plate. And I'm still going to groan and have to drag myself out of bed some mornings to come and do gospel ministry. And we still cling tightly to all those other things in our lives, unwilling to give them up so that we can possess that one priceless pearl. See, the law can't do it. It has to come from the gospel. And that's why the gospel is so incredibly, valuably important for us, because we can't do these things, we can't give of ourselves joyfully unless we know the gospel. You see, we can't have an all-consuming desire for the gospel unless we fully understand that Jesus' all-consuming desire was for you. Until we understand that the truly valuable treasure, what Jesus saw as the greatest treasure of all, was you. The treasure that he was willing to give up everything else for, his power and his glory as true God, so that he could become a true man and through his suffering and death purchase us from sin and death and Satan and hell. See, unless we know that beautiful gospel truth about Jesus, then we can't give of ourselves to him. Until we understand that Jesus gave everything to save you, we're never going to give of ourselves back to the one who saved us. So practically, what does this look like? What does it look like to follow these parables and give everything away for Jesus and the gospel? Is God telling us here that we should get rid of everything and go move into a monastery or a convent and become a monk or a nun, living a life of self-deprivation? Is he telling us to sell off all of our possessions and go move out to a cave in the desert and live as a hermit? Is he telling us that you should give every last penny that you possess to forward in faith and go move your family into a cardboard box under a bridge? Certainly not. Stewardship, the things that we do with the treasure that's been given to us, stewardship is just simply having a proper understanding of how God wants us to view and use the treasure that he's given to us in our lives. Stewardship is understanding that everything that you own, everything you have, everything that you are, is a gracious gift given to us by God's loving hands. Stewardship is an understanding that everything else in this world is temporary, except for the gospel and except for your soul. Stewardship is an understanding and a complete trust that whether you get gunned down at a concert in Las Vegas, or you lose everything in a hurricane, or you lose everything that you own and possess in a bad business deal, it means trusting that there is nothing, nothing that can take from you the truly valuable treasure that you already possess through faith in Christ Jesus. Stewardship is a trust in that Savior, that as you give of yourselves to support the gospel and gospel ministry, he's going to provide for every single one of your needs. And through it, he is going to bless you with a spiritual wealth more than you can possibly imagine or compare. You see, when God gave Solomon the opportunity to choose whatever he possibly could want, he could have focused on his earthly life. He could have asked for power or riches or lasting life or the destruction of all of his enemies. But he didn't. Instead, he looked at his eternal life and he asked for spiritual wealth, saying to God, "Give me a discerning heart to distinguish between right and wrong." He asked for spiritual wealth. And the most amazing thing about our God is that he blessed Solomon with spiritual wealth and spiritual wisdom like no one else had. And yet God also blessed him with incredible physical wealth as well. Solomon's annual income coming in somewhere around the range of $330 million a year. Now, I'm not standing up here saying that if you practice good stewardship and you give of yourselves to support the gospel and giving back to God, that God is going to make you into a multimillionaire or a billionaire. Because stewardship is not a, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you kind of a situation. But what I can tell you, what I can promise to you is this, that because Jesus was willing to give up everything for you, we can trust him and be willing to give up everything of ourselves for him. It means that we can trust him when he makes the promise to us, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things, all of these earthly things that we need, those are going to be given to you as well. Because as you give to God of yourself, God is going to bless you with everything that you need. And he's going to bless you with so much spiritual wealth, and spiritual growth, but you can't even comprehend it. I can't imagine how that flea market vendor felt after he found out that his $4 frame was actually a $2 million treasure. I imagine that before he sold the frame to that man, he thought about it a little bit like the world often looks at us, saying, look at this sacrificial life. These people that give of their time and their money for God, see, they see that lifestyle, they see that stewardship as trash, something to be disposed of. And yet below the surface lies a treasure that is more valuable than all of the gold in the world combined. It's a treasure that lasts for eternity. It's a treasure given to us by our Savior Jesus, our hidden treasure, and our priceless pearl. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join